Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno here in the studio. Of course, it's a huge weekend right across Europe. We'll focus mainly today on what's going on in La Liga. It has been the most extraordinary title race that will go down to the final day of the season. Atleti are big favourites to win the title. 2 points ahead, remember, of Real Madrid going into the final day. Atleti take on Valladolid, who are still fighting for survival. Real Madrid, meanwhile, taking on Villarreal, who, of course, have the Europa League final against Manchester United, surely as their priority. Well, let's welcome in Julian Laron and Sidlo. Sidlo is at a game at the moment. He's promised us he's not in the bathroom.
What?
So we will make sure not to stick with you too long, Sid. Sid, let's just talk about the general rhetoric. What's the big narrative going into this weekend in Spain?
I think the narrative really is that this is a season that's been tighter, more difficult than anyone anticipated. Of course, Atletico Madrid had a big lead at the end of January. They were 10 points clear with a game in hand. That lead has been chipped away at, but that somehow they found a way to hold on to it. And now it's in their hands. Now, in theory, at least, you would say, as you've already pointed out, they're playing against Valladolid, a team that are fighting for their lives but really aren't very good. You would say, well, Atletico Madrid should win. But, of course, this has been a season in which what should happen just hasn't happened time and time and time again. So I think now it's all about just kind of watching this final day be played out. And I think you're right that most people would anticipate Atletico Madrid being favourites, but no one is ruling anything out now.
Reminder, it's head-to-head in Spain. So, for example, if Atleti draw and Real Madrid win, Real Madrid have the better head-to-head against their city rivals and therefore be crowned champions once again. Ali, this kind of Jekyll and Hyde season from Atleti, because obviously they were brilliant for the first half, and the second half, everything just started falling apart all around them. However, you have to give them some credit for the way in which they've just kind of regrouped at the right time.
Just at the moment when you thought, well, it feels like it's Barcelona to win it, that didn't quite happen. Well, it feels like it's Real Madrid to win it, didn't quite happen. And the one team that actually managed to find some sort of consistency over the last 3 weeks was Atletico Madrid. Now, what I expect from Atletico Madrid against Valladolid is tension,
yeah,
anxiety, nerves. How is that any different from any other Atletico Madrid game this season? Or any time that they play?
Yeah.
It's never easy with them. It's never a sort of game that you think, you know what? They're going to dominate. They're going to create opportunities. They're going to create chances, and they're going to put this game away before halftime, and now all of a sudden it's just about celebrating the title that you're about to raise the trophy. It's not going to be like that. It's not what we expect from them. And yes, they're going to be nervous, and there's going to be anxiety. And what I think would be encouraging from Atletico Madrid fans' perspective is that last week against Osasuna, even though they were losing the game 1-0, up until that point, Atletico Madrid had created so many opportunities,
sure,
so many chances, had played so very well. That's not a team that looked nervous to me. That's not a team that looked passive to me. And so therefore, what I expect is, yeah, it's going to be difficult. Because of the moment, it's going to get tense. But Atletico Madrid seems to thrive in the tension. And so does Simeone. This is the way that they operate. So in the end, Atletico Madrid will do just enough. They'll suffer,
yeah,
they'll struggle, but
yeah,
they'll do just enough to win this title.
It's a nice way to sum up Atleti, isn't it? Overall, they will make you suffer, Jules, and on this occasion, Phil, Real Madrid will score early, news will get through to Atleti, and then it'll just be 90 minutes of suffering for the fans.
Exactly, and even Luis Suarez said after the Osasuna game, he said, I knew it would be tough to win La Liga, but I didn't think we would suffer that much. And I think he's right. And welcome to Atleti, Luisito, because this is what this club does. Even the last title in 2014, they had to wait until the last game of the season away at Barcelona, and they drew that game 1-1, and that was enough. But it's never easy. And Simeone said it earlier in the season after we've talked a lot about this first half of the season where they were so good, 50 points. But he also said, this is not going to be easy. Don't think that we can walk this league, because this is La Liga. It doesn't happen like this. It's never easy anyway. So they saw that coming. I think they've been there before. El Cholo certainly has been there before. And like the boys have said, I expect them to see this one through, even if it would be hard, even if it would be tense, the pressure would be high, but I still think they're going to win it.
From a Real Madrid perspective, Sid, it's almost a miracle that they're even still in this race, considering some of the poor results that they've had during the season. It's quite extraordinary, really, that they could still defend their title.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's one of the reasons why, if they don't win the league on Saturday evening, I think there will still be a sense that they got something from this season, that they were able to take it to the final day. I think, in any case, I think if you take a league title to the final day, you can't be considered to have failed. I think, given the position that Real Madrid came from, even less so. Now, remember that Zidane press conference when he came back from having had COVID at the start of February, and he was really furious. And he said, I really want to be given the respect and to be allowed to compete. I want this team, this group of people to be allowed to compete to defend the title we won last year. And that was last year, not 10 years ago, it was last year. So show us some respect and allow us to compete for it. And of course, the reason that he said that was because at that stage, everyone had already given the title up for lost. Everyone had already said, well, Madrid have thrown it away, they don't really care. And everybody was already looking towards the changes that needed to be made. And one thing that was overlooked, I think, when Zidane said that, was he admitted that. He said, yeah, there will be changes next year, but this year, let us compete for this.
Is this Zidane's last game in charge, Sid?
To be honest with you, I suspect it is, yes. Obviously, we haven't had that confirmed yet. We don't know that 100% for sure yet, but it feels very much like that. I think he was very close to saying so last week. He hinted very, very heavily that he was going, but I actually think it goes back much, much further. And I think, actually, if you listen to that discourse from February that I was talking about, I think the very fact that he was talking about next year there will be changes, but let us go through this year, I think he was talking about the group as a whole, not just about the team. He was including himself in that, and I think it is his way of saying, look, let us finish this season and then you can worry about what you want to do next.
Juventus or France, Jules?
If it's one of the two, it would be Juventus first anyway. The position for France is not ready and it's not available until probably 2022 after the World Cup, maybe more 2024, I think, after that Euros in Germany. And listen, eventually he will be the France head coach, there's no doubt. At some point he will get there. But I feel that Juventus could well be the step in between Real Madrid and France. And especially if Pirlo is no longer there next season, I think in Zidane, they would have found the perfect replacement. It's a club that he wants to go to. It's a club that he came really close to joining before his second spell before returning back to Real Madrid. So again, like with France, I think he's written somewhere that he will be a Juventus manager one day too.
Who will be the new Real Madrid coach, Sid?
There are two fundamental candidates. One is Allegri and the other is Raul. And now they're very different, obviously. I think that Allegri, certainly, while the talk has been of conversations over the last week or so, I think that actually goes back a little bit further. I think Madrid have been aware of this potential outcome for a while. I don't think it's as simple as suddenly thinking, wow, Zidane's going. With Raul, of course, this is someone that they've been preparing for first team football, but they don't necessarily need to do it now. Mm. That said, as far as I'm aware, at least, there isn't a final decision being made as yet.
Looking at it, Sid, Raul is romantic, but it is kind of different, isn't it, to the team that Zidane took over, as opposed to the project that Raul will have to kind of oversee, because it's going to be a complete and utter renovation job.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and Zidane came in, obviously, and partly did a job that was about steadying the ship, about making the players feel comfortable, about getting the best from a squad that was very strong but that wasn't really performing. With Raul, given the age of some of the key Real Madrid players, given the likely departure of Sergio Ramos, given the age of Modric and Kroos and one or two others, even Benzema, although he's probably got a good two or three years left, I think Raul would be seen as someone to take on a new project, which, as you say, makes it very different. But I actually think, to be honest with you, that from Raul's point of view, that's kind of what he would like, because I think it gives him greater authority, it gives him greater, if you like, maneuverability within the dressing room, and I think that's probably what he would like. But of course, that comes with it enormous risks, because as you rightly say, there's a difference between a squad that is really good and good enough to win the Champions League and a squad that actually at the start of next season may well not be. And I think that's the big lesson from this year, was that when Real Madrid were knocked out of the Champions League, it wasn't about bad luck or bad refereeing. It was a kind of a reflection of a reality and a sense that there are some serious limitations that Madrid probably still need to look at really quite heavily.
Speaking of squad overhauls, of course, Barcelona and their new president, Laporta, making no secret of the fact that this club needs a massive overhaul, saying that a cycle has ended. He said, we have lost La Liga incomprehensibly from my point of view. A cycle has ended and we are working on a renewal process. It's what I believe must be done. We know this, Sid, obviously, that this isn't news to anybody, but I tell you what, it's one heck of a project to take on.
It really is, and it really is for many, many reasons. And obviously the way that the Laporta presented this was a way of pointing the finger of blame, a way of underlining how significant he thinks the changes need to be, I think a way of justifying the probable decision not to continue with Ronald Koeman, which I think deep down he probably didn't want to do anyway. Had they won the league, may have been in the position in which he had to. I think it's a recognition of the age of the squad, but here's the big thing. It's also a recognition of the cost of the squad. And overseeing an overhaul is very, very difficult when you don't have money. Now, obviously, on the face of it, you go through the Barcelona squad and say, well, sell Griezmann, sell Dembélé, sell Coutinho, sell, you know, name any player you want, sell this player, we can make some money on it. But we have to remember something. Barcelona have tried this before. Coutinho, for example, is still at the Camp Nou because they couldn't find a buyer for him. There won't be buyers for Dembélé and Griezmann at the kind of level of money that Barcelona spent for them in the first place. And these are still players that they're paying off some of the salaries for in some cases, sorry, some of the transfer fees for in some cases anyway. So from Barcelona's point of view, it's all well and good having a sporting project. You've got to have the finance to be able to back it, which is, of course, why Laporta has gone looking for a 500 million euro loan this week. And, you know, that tells you, I think, that the depth of the problems that they face.
I would quite like to go into the details of who on earth is going to give Barcelona 500 million, given how they have completely and utterly wasted all their money recently. But let's focus on the question you're going to be asked a lot, Sid, Lionel Messi.
Well, I don't know the answer to this. I don't know for sure if Lionel Messi knows the answer to this. But there is due to be an interview published by the Argentinian newspaper Olé at the weekend. And this is purely interpretive on my part. It's not based on any hard information. But I think that if you announce that there is an interview coming, given the kind of impact that can have on a club like Barcelona, if he's going, do you announce it in advance? It feels like a very strange thing to do, to kind of build up to announcement if he's departing. I feel like things have shifted a little bit since last year. I don't believe for a minute that he's entirely happy. I don't believe he's entirely convinced that Barcelona are going to be a great side again. But things have changed since last year. It's a different president. He's a year older. I think he turns 34 next month. So I don't know what happens, but I feel at the moment like I'm leaning towards him staying. That said, ask me in 2 days' time and may well give you a completely different answer.
If these stats are ridiculous, by the way, when you see them like that, 743 goals, 307 assists. Sid, there's been reports that him and Koeman have completely fallen out. We talked about who's going to be the new Real Madrid manager, who's going to be the new Barcelona coach.
Well, of course, the man that everybody's talking about is Xavi Hernandez, but there are certain parallels with Raúl there in that I think Xavi Hernandez would like to take over Barcelona at the right time. Now, it may well be that he reaches the conclusion that actually you have to take Barcelona while you can, but I think he would like to, looking at a new project, a new generation of players. And I must admit, I suspect that he would probably welcome the chance to take over a Barcelona without Messi, although I just wonder if there's a bit of him that's pulled to the idea of let me have a year with Leo at least. There was talk today of Hansi Flick, but I just don't buy that at all, because of course the whole reason he left Bayern Munich was to go to the German national team.
Yes.
Now that's not to say you can't change your mind, you can change your mind, but the process was put in place for a particular outcome, and that outcome isn't him going to Barcelona.
Two last points, both on Barcelona's striking situation, Sid. If Luis Suarez was still there, would Barca win the title?
I don't know. And tongue-in-cheek, I did pose this question the other day, and I'd like to make it very clear that it was tongue-in-cheek, because I think some people took it very, very seriously.
No.
And I was thinking that, you know, Luis Suarez is now what stands between Real Madrid and the league title. So rather than a bunch of incompetent idiots, was that Barcelona board actually a group of geniuses who gave Atletico Madrid the only player that could prevent Real Madrid from winning the league?
Final point, Sid, Kun Aguero to Barcelona?
Yeah, it looks very much like it will happen. I don't know about you, but I can't help looking at this and thinking, while Kun Aguero is, of course, a brilliant player, while he's very close to Lionel Messi, we're talking about a new generation and a new project. Kun Aguero is 33.
Reports said that they're going to pay 500 million for him despite he's free. Do you think these true?
Absolutely true. No, I mean, look, I think it's worth pointing out here, of course, that this board of directors, Joan Laporta and his board of directors, have come into a situation which is even worse than they thought.
Yeah.
And this, I think it's worth making this point as well. That 500 million euros is not there so they can go, ah, brilliant, 250 on Mbappe, 250 on Haaland, everybody's happy, especially Lionel Messi. No, that 500 million euros is so that they can meet their short-term debts. It's so that they can restructure their debts. It's so that they can pay their players. This isn't for them to go and sign with. That's how bad the situation is. They need this to survive, not to suddenly go and build a new squad.
Sid Lowe, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your game. This could, of course, in theory, be Lionel Messi's final game for Barcelona this weekend. Be sure to check out excellent timeline of his career and how he got to be one of the greatest of all time over on our website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Harry Kane has spoken publicly for the first time since those rumours arose that he wanted to leave Tottenham Hotspur. He said, "You do not know what the chairman is thinking. He might want to sell me. If he thinks he can get £100 million for me, I'm not going to be worth that in the next 2 or 3 years. I hope we have a good enough relationship. I have given the club 16 years of my life, so I hope we can have an honest conversation and see where we are at." Jules, with us. Shaka joins the show as well, wearing his pyjamas for no particular reason. Jules, I want to start with you, that this kind of, look, I've given a lot to this club. Now I think they should give me the opportunity to leave if I want to. This is very romantic. But from Daniel Levy's perspective, it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, he doesn't. But I'm sure Harry Kane knows exactly that as well. He's an intelligent guy. Even if he'd never moved clubs, he never had to go through a transfer. He knows how things work. He knows that his interest might be very different to his club's interest, to his chairman's interest, to his owner interest. Of course it is. I think this is a way, and we rarely hear a player who's asked to move, who put in a transfer request, although it's not, he hasn't done it that technically, but still he's asked the club to leave, then going on record publicly and talk like this. I think it's a refreshing thing. It's good. And I think he knows exactly how he works and what's going to work or not. And maybe that's just a way of him saying, hey, look, putting almost Daniel Levy in front of his responsibilities with the fans, saying, I've given you so much, especially in the last 7 years as a professional, that now maybe it's your turn to send back to me the favour and letting me go, because I want to win all those trophies, because I want to be as good as Messi and Ronaldo, because I've got all that ambition that I don't feel I can fulfil as Spurs. Please understand me, that kind of thing.
Spurs are a business, though, Shaq, surely. You know, it's nice sentimentality and it's nice you've given us 7 years. Now we've paid you one heck of a lot of money during your time here. You haven't been playing for free. So, like, with that sort of rhetoric, I find it strange that Spurs will maybe see this and go, you know what, he's right.
I think this is less about Daniel Levy thinking that Harry Kane is right, and it's more about explaining a position to the fans. Listen, Harry Kane has spent his entire career at Spurs. And he has been highly compensated of late. On the one hand, I'm a little bit surprised that when he signed that deal 3 years ago, you signed a six-year deal without any kind of an escape clause in it. I thought that very surprising. On the other, you now find yourself in a position where Spurs haven't progressed. You can make the argument that they've regressed from when he first signed that deal 3 years ago. And now I'm just about 28 years old. He's wondering what next for him. Where does that silverware come? And while I think you could push for that move behind closed doors, as many do, oftentimes that leaves the fans a little bit aggrieved with how things happen. But coming out and stating his position publicly, I think goes a way to appeasing the fans and their own opinions of Harry Kane, more so than forcing Daniel Levy further down the road of making this transfer happen.
He is appealing to the goodwill of Tottenham and his relationship with the club. And he is trying to take advantage of that good relationship. And he's saying, look, I'm not a troublemaker. I'm going to show up and I'm going to do my job. However, let me tell you something. You can really get a lot of money for me if you sell me. And the only reason he's doing this is to give, we talk about escape clause to Spurs and saying, look, I'm already positioned in this as I want to leave. You guys, this is smart business for you. So it's win-win for everybody. And then the fans are like, yeah, Harry, you're right. Even though you're not, because you're under contract and you still have 3 years left in that contract. And while it is a good, compelling case, if you're Spurs, you make the decision that suits your club the best. Yeah. That's why you have contracts in place. So the same way that we say that teams and should honor the contract of players, well, players should honor the contract from teams. Now, I understand Harry Kane's position. I get it. I'm with you, Harry. I understand that he's appealing to the goodwill. I'm not sure it's going to work if the numbers don't work. And that's what Spurs is going to look at, the numbers.
What happens next, Shaq, if Spurs said, look, we're sorry, we're not going to sell you?
Harry Kane stays on their books and probably just winds his contract down, and which means Spurs gets absolutely nothing for him. Listen, on the other side of that same kind of negotiating tactic, you've seen players kind of be held on to and mope and cause problems in dressing room. I don't know Harry Kane from Adam, but I don't get the impression that he'll do that. I think Harry Kane will continue to do as he has been for Spurs. He'll see out his 3 years. He'll be 31 years old and moving on a free transfer. And on a free transfer, maybe he gets the kind of money that he would now. Maybe he has just enough time left in his career to deliver on some of that silverware that he wishes for.
What does your gut say about it all, Jules?
I think the key here could be the next manager, I suppose. Let's say someone comes in with a lot of charisma who can have this chat with Harry Kane and say, okay, listen, give us one more year. We're putting this new project in place. We need you to do this and this and make him believe again, because I think he believed in the Pochettino and I stopped believing a long time ago, maybe when Pochettino was sacked. And that now he's in a state of mind where he's like, you know what, this club is not moving forward in the way I thought he would, in the way we were maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where the future looked really bright. It doesn't look bright right now. The future is supposed to look gloomy. They don't have a manager. They've got their best player, their captain, their talisman, everything you want, who wants to go because they don't win anything and because that future is gloom. So maybe the guy who's coming in, whether that's Erik ten Hag, whether that's Ralf Rangnick, I don't know, Roberto Martinez, whoever, speaks to him and goes, you know what, I want you to feel inspired. I want you to be part of this project. Maybe you can have, okay, one more year, and then you let me go next year. A bit like what Cristiano did at United, for example, where you agree 1 year, and after that, you open the door for me.
Jules, thank you very much. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast is available to download now. You can just do that over on the website. Well, this must be like the penultimate one of the season, thank goodness. Shaka, take us through your rankings.
Oh, what's going on here?
Let me just say, Dan, this was a very difficult week. But through that difficulty, I think I produced my best rankings ever, Dan.
Liverpool?
Bayern drew, Lille drew, City, Chelsea lost, Sporting lost, Atalanta lost. So it was troublesome. Anyway, 10, newly crowned Coppa Italia champions, Juventus.
Oh, boy.
With Gigi Buffon lifting his sixth Coppa Italia title.
It's already gone.
Gigi Buffon, everybody.
This thing already gone already.
What? 9, Liverpool. They've won 8 in a row. And all, well, oh, no, they haven't lost in 8. And all of a sudden, they're in the Champions League spot. Chelsea.
Hey, you got to know your own arguments,
Jack. They're losing. They beat Leicester. Now they're in 3rd.
Chelsea lost the FA Cup
Lille,
final.
Lille, who drew their down. City.
Could still win the
Bayern,
title.
PSG lifting their second set of silverware this season. They're up to, what are they, 3rd. Atletico Madrid on the cusp of winning La Liga in its 2nd. Number 1, Borussia Dortmund.
What?
Who've now won 7 in a row. Easily installed in 3rd place.
What?
They beat 2nd place Leipzig handsomely to win the Pokal. They're number 1.
Right.
I feel like I missed out Rangers. Sorry about that. Rangers are in at 6.
Oh.
Since Don isn't here, I totally forgot about them. Rangers are 6th in their somehow.
Where do you start?
Liverpool needed a goalkeeper to beat West Brom.
He dropped out Inter to put in Juventus, who are out of the top 4 as we speak.
Yep.
They could not be in the top 10. Lille.
But Juventus beat Inter last week.
Hey.
Inter already won the title.
Hey, Shaq, you just made
That's
the argument.
Right.
You just made the argument, Shaq.
This is now. Oh, we are talking about right now.
Right
you
now.
Just make the argument about PSG winning the Coupe de France. And yet they're unable to beat Lille, right? Who are on the cusp, by your own statement, on the cusp of winning Ligue 1. That's why you have Atletico Madrid as number 2.
But
wow.
But they're ahead of PSG.
It's this complete waste of time.
Yeah, but, you know, we're talking about now, Ali. Look at the hands.
How is that now?
It's all in the hands, Ali.
Why is the hands that now?
Yeah, right now, Lille are still ahead of PSG.
How is that the gesture for now?
Well, even now, that's still the case. Well, even now, Lille are still ahead of PSG.
Yep.
Even now,
you have to look at the whole ball, Dan.
Even
it's
now,
the whole thing.
Inter are still winning Serie A, and Jules, Juventus may not make top 4.
Jules, this has got to be the worst thing we've ever done.
It is.
The best.
I mean, every time I'm here for this segment, I say I'm lost for words. I mean, Bayern have won 1 in the last 3, and yet they're very much in there. In one of the top teams in that power ranking. This is just ridiculous. I think the power rankings are as bad as Shaka playing basketball.
Oh.
Wow, I don't know. That bad.
I don't know. Have you seen him play basketball? Have you seen him play basketball?
Wow.
He's fighting the ball when the ball's in his hands.
Yeah.
He is fighting the ball.
PSG are never going to be in my power rankings again.
Hey, the basketball is your friend, Shaka.
PSG are
all. Oh, my goodness. We will be discussing.
Let's redo this, Dan.
Shaka's
I want to redo this with no PSG.
On the extra time, which you can see or listen to as bonus material over on our website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greg Berhalter has announced his 27-man squad, from which, of course, he'll choose the team that will take on Switzerland at the end of the month. You've got all the big hitters in Europe, the likes of Weston McKennie, Serginho Dest and Yunus Musa. You've got new boys as well, Justin Che, Matthew Hoppe and David Ochoa. Well, for a lot more on that squad and looking ahead to the friendly at the end of the month, which is live on ESPN, just a reminder, you can check out Football America's. The latest edition is available now. Also available on ESPN Plus, Detail with Sydney Leroux. The US Women's International breaks down Juventus against AC Milan. It is, of course, a massive weekend for Juventus. It's a weekend where fate is very much out of their hands, because if Napoli beat Verona and Milan beat Atalanta, then Juve will be in the Europa League next season. You can see how it all plays out on Sunday on ESPN+. Meanwhile, in the Bundesliga, it's the last round of matches, all the games at 9:30, also on Plus. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Ali, Jules and Shaq are back with me to answer your tweets. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali with me in the studio, as is Julianne Laurent and Shaka Hislop. Shaka Hislop, very much the subject of a conversation we were having off-air regarding his basketball abilities.
What? Abilities?
And I've seen him play basketball, and you look at Shaka and his physique, and you think he must be good at it.
Right.
He is absolutely terrible. Really bad.
He is.
Also, that's not true,
first
Dan.
Of all, he's awful. But it's amazing how a guy who made a living handling a soccer ball, right, stopping balls for a living, that he feels, or whenever he gets a basketball in his hands, it's like the basketball is his enemy.
Right.
He's playing the bongos with this thing when he dribbles. He's like,
goodness me.
The dribbling, or lack thereof, by Shaka is impressive.
When did you see him play?
Over here in the hallways.
Oh,
I see him around trying to bounce the ball around in the hallways.
That
and it's awful.
That does not count.
I went on a cruise with Shaka.
Let me just
see. And there was a basketball court.
Oh.
And he couldn't hit the rim. Like, everything was missing, the backboard, everything.
That's not true, Dan. That's not true. It was very windy. There were a lot of waves.
We were pulled.
There were a lot of waves on the old Atlantic that day.
Oh man, Jules, you love basketball, yeah? It's your second sport.
Yeah, I'm a huge NBA fan. Yeah.
How would you fancy your chances against Shaka?
Mine too, Jules.
I can take on Shaka.
Basketball's my second sport too, Jules.
Goodness me, what's your first sport, Shaka?
Your second, I think it's your second from bottom sport, though. I think it's your second from bottom, Shaka, not your second sport.
I can just tell you this. If you're in a pickup game and you see Shaka on your court, this is a public service announcement. Do not pick him. Do not be fooled. Don't think because it's Shaka that, this guy's going to help us. No, he won't. He will not.
What's the relevance of 35 on your Howard shirt, Shaka?
None.
What do you mean none?
It's 36. That's just the shirt they gave me.
A freebie, basically. That's what you got. There's a freebie. Brilliant. Goodness me, Shaq.
I once scored 36 points in a basketball game.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yes. Okay. That's your dreams. Cumulative basketball career.
All three-pointers.
Right. You two are getting angry.
All
they
from
want us
downtown.
To talk about soccer. Jules, Raul or Allegri, who should Real Madrid go for with this squad?
I think you should go for Allegri and bring Raul as an assistant, like you did with Carlo Ancelotti and Zinedine Zidane, who assisted him, who learned with him, because Raul doesn't right now have enough experience to take on this team with all the rebuilding work that is needed for the squad, but also probably in terms of tactics, different philosophy, etc. Allegri can come in and have Raul next to him, which I think will work really well. And then 3-4 years down the line, I don't know, depending on how Allegri does, then Raul is ready to take the next step and replace him and be far more ready than he is now.
For Ali, if you were PSG, who would you rather have, Messi or Ronaldo?
I would have Lionel Messi. And I would have Lionel Messi for a very simple reason. Brace yourselves. I think he's a better player. That's all. Oh. And that's it.
No. Here come the insults.
Mostly, what?
Mostly what? From Ronaldo people about your hair. Why would they would they go for that?
I know, it's so very obvious. I make fun of my hair.
No. The Ronaldo fans are after you, Ali.
What?
Jules, with your PSG ways.
I would agree with Ali. Wow. I would take Leo. Please, Leo, come home, please. Come home.
Come home.
That's a long way around.
Wow, blooming heck. For the second season straight, Leicester City are failing to secure top four from a strong position late in the season. How does this reflect on Rodgers and Leicester? Is it a failure, Shaq?
It's not a failure, but it doesn't reflect well. As I mentioned, I mean, last season he kind of put it down to the pandemic and the disruption, so maybe it was easier to understand. But this time around, second time around, they were in a really strong position, and now all of a sudden find themselves on the outside looking in. It doesn't reflect well. It's not a failure because we are talking about Leicester City, and finishing top four is an incredible achievement for a club of that size, regardless of the manager.
Yeah, isn't that just a point, Shaq? The four richest clubs in England are the top four. If Leicester had those resources, they would have a better squad who could then fill the gaps which were left after their key players got injured.
That's very well put, Dan. You're wasted as a host.
Well, okay. Easy now. Let's not get crazy now.
Shaka, since Liverpool did exactly opposite of what you predicted against Burnley, Shaka thought that Burnley were going to take points from Liverpool. What's your prediction to where they'll finish now?
I think Liverpool will finish fourth.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Uh-oh.
Right, uh-oh. Here we go. For Ali, from an outsider's perspective, Benzema is an emotional player, showing visible frustration when he can't get the ball and pure bliss when he scores. Should strikers show their emotions on their sleeves, or does that give the defenders an advantage?
I don't think it gives the defender an advantage whatsoever. Now, defenders may think, well, I'm really getting in his head now. Luis Suarez is an emotional striker. He is the one getting in the head of defenders. Diego Costa was an emotional striker. He was the one getting under the skin of the defenders. To me, emotion is part of the game, and some of the sort of the most dominant strikers that we have seen over the last decade or so have that emotion, have that willingness and that ability to channel those emotions when it matters. When it's time to score the goal, that's when you want them to be cool-headed. And that's what you see from Luis Suarez, that's what you have seen from Ronaldo, that's what you have seen from Diego Costa, so on and so forth. We can go down the list of players that are emotional. The other guys do it a different manner. I think emotion is a good part of the game.
Final question, here we go. If ESPN decide to conduct a five-a-side football game for their crew, and Shaka and Ali are captains, who would they pick in their respective teams? Will they pick Jules before Dan? And who gets picked last? Okay, let's do this. Shaka, first pick, go.
Oh, I'm going to go for Neda Manua.
Wow, I'd have gone Klinsmann first. Anyway, Ali?
Jurgen Klinsmann.
Right, okay. Shaq, next pick.
I'm going to go for Stuart Robson.
Okay. All right, I got it. Frank Leboeuf.
Right, okay. Right. Shaka.
What about Del Piero? Is Del Piero in?
Del Piero. You can have Del Piero. Good. That's your third pick.
Oh, now we're getting thin.
Ah.
Because there's a lack of fitness in the rest of the group. I'm going to go Jules.
Jules?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jules. Get in, Ali.
Wow. There we go.
I think Jules can run around. That's
So that answers the question. You picked Jules before me.
Well, yes. I've invited you to play at my stadium in my house, and you've declined because you say that you're not good. So no. that's not the endorsement that I need.
So who gets picked out of the whole ESPN team last? Shaka?
Last? I think it might be you, Dan.
Ooh, I was thinking maybe I might just be ahead of Gab.
Oh, yeah. Well ahead of Gab.
Gab is a defender. I want Gab right in front of goal.
Gab.
Don't move. Just stand right there, Gab.
Wow, wow.
How close in front of the goal? Wait, you have to pick Sevi. If not, he gets angry.
Yeah, Sevi.
You have to put him in the game, otherwise he has an emotional reaction.
So, Gab would just be around following attackers, telling them about financial fair play.
Yes. Did I ever tell you? It's like, no, Gab, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. Hey, can I answer the question about the emotional striker? If you had Gab playing with you, yes, use your emotions and kick them.
Oh, there we go. That is it. Thank you very much, guys. We'll leave you to go back to shooting some hoops, Shaq, which I like to do with an evening. We will be back tomorrow for more, of course, looking ahead to a massive weekend right across Europe.